The Light of Christ by President Boyd K. Packer, Acting President of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. What everyone called to preach the gospel, teach the gospel, or live the gospel should know. The Holy Ghost and the Light of Christ are different from each other. It is important for you to know about both of them. Most members of the church have a basic understanding of the Holy Ghost. Most have experienced its promptings and understand why the Holy Ghost is called the Comforter. They know the Holy Ghost is a personage of spirit, Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, verse 22, and a member of the Godhead. First article of faith. But many do not know that there is another spirit, the Light of Christ, Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 7, another source of inspiration, which each of us possesses in common with all other members of the human family. If we know about the Light of Christ, we will understand that there is something inside all of us, and we can appeal to that in our desire to share truth. The Holy Ghost and the Light of Christ are different from each other. While they are sometimes described in the Scriptures with the same words, they are two different and distinct entities. It is important for you to know about both of them. The more we know about the Light of Christ, the more we will understand about life, and the more we will have a deep love for all mankind. We will be better teachers and missionaries and parents, and better men and women and children. We will have deeper regard for our brothers and sisters in the church, and for those who do not believe and have not yet had conferred upon them the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Light of Christ is defined in the Scriptures as the Spirit, which giveth light to every man that cometh into the world. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 46. The light which is in all things, which giveth life to all things, which is the law by which all things are governed. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 13. See also John, chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 45 through 47. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 6, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 9. And the Light of Christ is also described in the Scriptures as the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 45. The Spirit of the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. See also Mosiah, chapter 25, verse 24. The Spirit of Truth, Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 26. The Light of Truth, Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 6. The Spirit of God, Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verse 17. And the Holy Spirit, Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, verse 57. Some of these terms are also used to refer to the Holy Ghost. The First Presidency has written, "There is a universally diffused essence which is the light and the life of the world, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, which proceedeth forth from the presence of God throughout the immensity of space, the light and power which God bestows in different degrees to them that ask Him, according to their faith and obedience." Regardless of whether this inner light, this knowledge of right and wrong, is called the light of Christ, moral sense, or conscience, it can direct us to moderate our actions, unless, that is, we subdue it or silence it. Every spirit child of our Heavenly Father enters into mortality to receive a physical body and to be tested. The Lord said, "They are the workmanship of mine own hands, and I gave unto them their knowledge in the day I created them, and in the Garden of Eden gave I unto man his agency." Moses chapter 7, verse 32. "Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil." 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 27. Therefore we know that every man may act in doctrine and principle pertaining to futurity, according to the moral agency. The words free agency do not appear in the Revelations. which I have given unto him, that every man may be accountable for his own sins in the day of judgment. Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, verse 78. We are admonished to quench not the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Thus we can see that all are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 5. See also 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 27. They have their agency, and they are accountable. This Spirit of Christ fosters everything that is good, every virtue. See Moroni chapter 7, verse 16. It stands in brilliant, indestructible opposition to anything that is coarse, or ugly, or profane, or evil, or wicked. See Moroni chapter 7, verse 17. Conscience affirms the reality of the Spirit of Christ in man. It affirms as well the reality of good and evil, of justice, mercy, honor, courage, faith, love, and virtue, as well as the necessary opposites: hatred, greed, brutality, jealousy. See 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 11 and 16. Such values, though physically intangible, respond to laws with cause and effect relationships, as certain as any resulting from physical laws. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. The Spirit of Christ can be likened unto a guardian angel for every person. The Spirit of Christ can enlighten the inventor, the scientist, the painter, the sculptor, the composer, the performer, and architect. The author to produce great, even inspired things for the blessing and good of all mankind. This Spirit can prompt the farmer in his field and the fisherman on his boat. It can inspire the teacher in the classroom, the missionary in presenting his discussion. It can inspire the student who listens. And of enormous importance, it can inspire husband and wife, and father and mother. This inner light can warn and guard and guide, but it can be repulsed by anything that is ugly or unworthy or wicked or immoral or selfish. The light of Christ existed in you before you were born. Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 23, and verses 29 and 30. And it will be with you every moment that you live, and will not perish when the mortal part of you has turned to dust. It is ever there. Every man, woman, and child of every nation, creed, or color, everyone, no matter where they live, or what they believe, or what they do, has within them the imperishable light of Christ. In this respect, all men are created equally. The light of Christ in everyone is a testimony that God is no respecter of persons. Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 35. He treats everyone equally in that endowment with the light of Christ. It is important for a teacher or a missionary or a parent to know that the Holy Ghost can work through the light of Christ. A teacher of gospel truths is not planting something foreign or even new into an adult or a child. Rather, the missionary or teacher is making contact with the Spirit of Christ already there. The gospel will have a familiar ring to them. Then the teaching will come to the convincing of those who will listen that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, manifesting himself unto all nations. Book of Mormon, title page. During his mortal ministry, Jesus taught his gospel and put in place the foundation upon which his church would be built. The foundation was built of stones, of doctrine which can neither be seen with mortal eyes nor felt by touch. They are invisible and intangible. They will not weather away or crumble. They cannot be broken or dissolved or destroyed. These stones of doctrine are imperishable and indestructible. These stones of doctrine existed before the world was. Doctrine and Covenants, section 124, verse 38. From before the foundation of the world. Doctrine and Covenants, section 124, verse 41. Christ built his church upon them. Jesus spoke of the stone which the builders rejected. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Then the shadow of apostasy settled over the earth. The line of priesthood authority was broken, But mankind was not left in total darkness or completely without revelation or inspiration. The idea that with the crucifixion of Christ the heavens were closed and that they opened in the first vision is not true. The light of Christ would be everywhere present to attend the children of God. The Holy Ghost would visit seeking souls. The prayers of the righteous would not go unanswered. The conferring of the gift of the Holy Ghost must await the restoration of the priesthood and the dispensation of the fullness of times, when all things would be revealed. Temple work, ordinance work, would then be revealed. Then those who lived during the many generations when essential ordinances were unavailable, when baptism was not available, would be redeemed. God never abandons His children. He never has abandoned this earth. When the fullness of His gospel was restored, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was built upon the same foundation stones of doctrine. Because we learn most everything through physical senses, teaching intangible doctrines which cannot be seen or felt becomes very difficult. Jesus, the Master Teacher, taught these doctrines, and they can be taught in the same way today. It is my purpose to show you how He, the Master Teacher, taught them. You can come to understand spiritual truths as clearly as if these stones of doctrine were as tangible as granite or flint or marble. Marble will yield to the hands of the sculptor so that others can see what he sees hidden within the shapeless stone. In like manner, you can teach others to see, that is, to understand, these intangible, invisible stones of doctrine. The way the Savior taught and the way you can teach is both simple and very profound. If you choose a tangible object as a symbol for a doctrine, you can teach just as he did. A teacher can associate the doctrine with an object already known, which can be seen with physical eyes. Jesus compared faith to a seed, the tiny mustard seed, which can be seen and touched. He told how if the seed is nurtured, it can grow and flourish and become a tree. Luke chapter 13, verse 19. He compared the kingdom of heaven to an everyday object that can be seen. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Christ used as examples, as symbols, such ordinary things as salt. See Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Mark chapter 9, verse 49 and 50, Luke chapter 14, verse 34, and candles. See Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, Mark chapter 4, verse 21, Luke chapter 8, verse 16, chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Revelation, chapter 18, verse 23. As rain, see Matthew, chapter 7, verses 25 through 27. And rainbows, see Revelation, chapter 4, verse 3, and chapter 10, verse 1. The four Gospels are full of such examples. Likewise, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price have dozens of similar references. They are everywhere. That is what a story or a parable is, a true-to-life example used to teach a principle or a doctrine that is invisible or intangible. One time in Matthew, one time in Luke, three times in the Book of Mormon, and three times in the Doctrine and Covenants, the Savior spoke of a hen with her chickens. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Luke chapter 13, verse 34, 3 Nephi, chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. Doctrine and Covenants, section 10, verse 65, section 29, verse 2, section 43, verse 24. Everyone knows about hens and chickens, even little children. Now, faith is not really exactly like a seed, nor is the kingdom of heaven exactly like a net, or a treasure, or leaven. See Luke, chapter 13, verse 21. Or a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. But with these illustrations, Jesus was able to open the eyes of his disciples, not their natural eyes, but the eyes of their understanding. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, John chapter 12, verse 40, Acts chapter 28, verse 27, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, 2 Nephi chapter 16, verse 10, Doctrine and Covenants section 76, verses 12 and 19, and section 88, verse 11, and section 110, verse 1. With the eyes of our understanding, we see things that are spiritual. With our spirits reaching out, we can touch things that are spiritual and feel them. Then we can see and we can feel things that are invisible to the physical senses. Remember, Nephi told his rebellious brothers, who had rejected a message from an angel, "Ye are past feeling, that ye could not feel his words." 1 Nephi chapter 17, verse 45. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 13 and 14. In modern revelation, Christ spoke of the light which shineth, which giveth you light, and enlighteneth your eyes, which is the same light that quickeneth your understandings. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 11. I do not know how to teach about the Spirit of Christ, except to follow what the Lord did when he taught invisible, intangible truths to his disciples. To describe the light of Christ, I will compare or liken it to the light of the sun. Sunlight is familiar to everyone. It is everywhere present and can be seen and can be felt. Life itself depends upon sunlight. The light of Christ is like sunlight. It, too, is everywhere present and given to everyone equally. Just as darkness must vanish when the light of the sun appears, so is evil sent fleeing by the light of Christ. There is no darkness in sunlight. Darkness is subject unto it. The sun can be hidden by clouds or by the rotation of the earth, but the clouds will disappear and the earth will complete its turning. According to the plan, we are told that it must needs be that there is an opposition in all things. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 11. Mormon warned that the devil persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither do his angels, neither do they who subject themselves unto him. Now, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully. Moroni chapter 7, verses 17 and 18. This light of Christ, which gives life, is within you. The evil one will attempt to obscure it. It can be so clouded with confusion so far as to convince you that it does not even exist. Just as sunlight is a natural disinfectant, the Spirit of Christ can cleanse the spirit. Every soul, no matter who or where or when, is a child of God. Our responsibility is to teach that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Job chapter 32, verse 8. President Joseph Fielding Smith spoke of the teachings of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of Christ. Every man can receive a manifestation of the Holy Ghost, even when he is out of the church, if he is earnestly seeking for the light and for the truth. The Holy Ghost will come and give the man the testimony he is seeking, and then withdraw, and the man does not have a claim upon another visit or constant visits and manifestations from him. He may have the constant guidance of that other spirit, the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is always there. It never leaves. It cannot leave. Everyone, everywhere, already has the Spirit of Christ, and while the Spirit of the Holy Ghost can visit anyone, The gift of the Holy Ghost is obtained by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. Third article of faith. By submitting to baptism by immersion for the remission of sins, and the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Fourth article of faith. It is not automatically present like the Spirit of Christ is present. This gift must be conferred by one holding authority. Fifth article of faith. That is what we are commissioned to do, to foster the light of Christ, which is within every soul we meet, and bring souls to the point where the Holy Ghost may visit them. And then, in due time, they can receive, through the ordinance, the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is conferred upon every member of the church. Once a person has received that gift of the Holy Ghost, and can cultivate it together with the light of Christ, which they already have, then the fullness of the gospel is open to their understanding. The Holy Ghost can even work through the light of Christ. The light of Christ is as universal as sunlight itself. Wherever there is human life, there is the Spirit of Christ. Every living soul is possessed of it. It is the sponsor of everything that is good. It is the inspirer of everything that will bless and benefit mankind. It nourishes goodness itself. Mormon taught, "Search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil, and if ye will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ." Moroni chapter 7, verse 19. Everyone knows about sunlight. When you liken the Spirit of Christ to sunlight, ordinary examples from your own experiences may come to your mind. These examples are almost endless. These examples can be understood by the little children or by adults, as the parable of Christ can be understood. It should not be difficult to teach how revelation can come through light, even though we do not know exactly how inspiration works. Man himself, with all his limitations, can convey messages through fiber optic cables. A single tiny fiber of glass, smaller than a human hair, can carry 40,000 messages at the same time. These can be decoded and turned into sight and sound and color, even motion. Man can do that. A laser beam, where there is no wire or fiber at all, can carry 100 billion bits of information in a second. If man can do that, why should we marvel at the promise that the light of Christ is in all of us, and that the Holy Ghost can visit any of us? It should not be difficult, therefore, to understand how revelation from God to His children on earth can come to all mankind through both the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Ghost. This light of Christ is everywhere in the Scriptures. The Doctrine and Covenants is a very rich source of teaching on the light of Christ. For example, it speaks of the light of truth, which truth shineth. This is the light of Christ. He is in the sun, and the light of the sun, and the power thereof by which it was made. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verses 6 and 7. Ordinary teachers responsible to teach the doctrines and to testify of spiritual things have within their own personal experience every day things that can be likened unto things which are spiritual. Then the light of Christ can be ignited by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. We are told that then the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 14, verse 26. President Harold B. Lee explained, "That light never entirely goes out," speaking of the light of Christ, "unless we commit the unpardonable sin. Its glow may be so dim that we can hardly perceive it, but it is there for us to fan into a flame that will burn brighter with understanding and with knowledge. Except for that, we wouldn't be able to achieve. Our missionary work would come to naught. If we understand the reality of the light of Christ in everyone we see and in every meeting we attend and within ourselves, and understand the great challenge that we have, the surroundings in which we live, the danger which sometimes besets us, we will have courage and inspiration beyond that which we have known heretofore. And it must be so, and it will be so. All of this is a dimension of gospel truth that too few understand. May you prayerfully and diligently endeavor to comprehend the meaning of these principles, and then begin to apply them. As you do, then follows the testimony that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true, that the restoration of the gospel is a reality, and that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth. Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 30. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, and from him emanates the light of Christ to all mankind. May you who are called as missionaries or teachers, and you who are parents, feast upon the words of Christ. For the words of Christ will tell you all things that ye should do. 2 Nephi chapter 32, verse 3. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. From an address given on June the 22nd, 2004, at a seminar for new mission presidents, Missionary Training Center, Provo, Utah. End of the article, The Light of Christ, by President Boyd K. Packer, Acting President of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles.